This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everybody. Cheryl from Unleashed. And today I have a wonderful guest, Dr. Dawn Filos. And she's a pet vet that does mobile pet care, whether in your house or in her mobile van. And may I call you Dr. Dawn?
Absolutely. Join the club.
Well, welcome to the show. And I want to talk about this terrific book that you wrote. It's called Tales of a Pet Vet, Stories from the Clinic and House Calls. Now, you've been a vet for, you said, over 30 years, correct?
Yeah, over 32 years. And I will just say, I didn't have a big van that I worked in the driveway. I went in the house, which you probably got a lot of that with the cat stories. So I just came right on in, worked in bedrooms and all those other places, but basically.
Sure, the animals were not stressed.
They were less stressed than they don't love that I was there, but they're happier in their home than having to leave the home.
My first boyfriend years ago in upstate New York, he was a mobile pet. He had a van.
Really?
And when he used to come down to Long Island and check my cats, even just bringing in the bag, it disappeared.
The smell, they know. I'm convinced they just recognize the sound of my car and they would try to hide when I pull in the driveway. They get so good at knowing I'm there. Or they hear us on the phone scheduling the appointment and then they try to hide.
How did you end up, because, you know, in your career, you did work at offices.
How I did.
How did it come to be that you said, this is how I'm going to do it? Because I don't understand how you could remember, I mean, in detail, some of these, you know, patients. And I have to say, this is a learning book. It might be your memoir, but you could get so many tips on what to do. And if you think about something and you're not sure, you've got it in here.
I agree. It's called a hybrid memoir. So it's about me, but really, it's briefly me. And it's mainly, it's about my patients and their families with information to help those story, to drive those stories. Some chapters are a little more information, but it is not just a simple straight memoir. And I think there's certain things that I think are important to share with pet parents. And it goes from the full spectrum, from puppy and kitten all the way to senior years and end of life. And, you know, I had this blog and feedback from some of the topics, some of which, you know, it evolved from straight information to augment my visits, be them in the house or, you know, I taught a pet first aid class. So I had all this medical information, but then I started writing about some of these funny or the human animal bond and the psychological benefits and, you know, and just how it helps people that live alone, you know, that things that touched my heart. Apparently, really, I got a lot of feedback and asking for more of that. And I thought this would be helpful to share in a book. And some of the information that I really wanted to get make a point of to clients, such as, you know, in the emergency chapters, err on the side of caution, act early. But for the most part, there are this range of stories with information as well, I would say. You tell me if you agree, but that was sort of how it
was. Definitely. And I agree with you. I do not like the retractable leashes. I think that someday, God forbid, somebody's going to be decapitated. It's like a wire.
Yes, it's on the top 10 list of the top 10 list of every veterinarian. It's just it's a recipe for disaster. And what happened to me in the book, I talk about how I was dragged. If I had been 30 years older, we would have had a very different issue. I would have broken a hip, at least a hip. So yeah, they are a real problem. And that is one hot topic that I dared go into in the book because it means it's that important to me to spread the word and hopefully enough people will read it. And I don't think those companies are big fans of me, but.
Well, I think a lot of people use it because they walk on the street and their dog works on the grass, but it's just, It's most ridiculous thing. I don't know how they have control of the animal.
Well, they don't. If you think your thumb can control a 90-pound dog sprinting 20 miles an hour, you can't. And I live to tell about it.
Well, I know they use it a lot for smaller dogs.
But still, I list the behavioral reasons. It's dangerous for the dog and the there's so many other there's no size dog where I think it's appropriate or safe.
And I wanted to talk about the senior pet parents. I love that chapter. That was great.
I love my senior pet parent. I think you asked about what got me to start the house call practice, and I didn't fully answer. So part was having done an in-home euthanasia, and that was a game changer. But my senior pet parents that I would meet, or they would have to take a cab in because they weren't driving and they're living alone and they're waiting until it's a severe problem just to come in. And it just broke my heart. It's like, you know, I wanted to be there for them. And I ended up finding so many of these pets were just not going to the vet at all. Many of them were cats, but not only. And I met so many senior clients that were widowed or widowers. And I talk about some of them in the book. And there's so many that just really, really changed how I saw the impact. I mean, you see it, we live it. Not that when you're young, it's not important, but these people, this is their only kind of companion for sometimes days or weeks. I mean, they're really living alone. Families, you know, live in another state. It surprised me, but they're wonderful. And I talk about a few of my, I love the challenge of veterinary medicine, and I love the challenge of a curmudgeon-y senior client who's like, just had enough. I get older every day, every minute, and I get it, you know. And it's sort of like when I would break through that shell, if there was a shell, there's so much to learn from them.
The older people, pet is,
they have life experiences and they have a different perspective. And I talk about the pet trust. And actually, I had a post about pet trusts on my blog, and I got phone call after phone call from people that were calling on behalf of their parents. And I became their mobile vet, which is why I had so many senior clients. And because at the time, there weren't many in my area. There were barely any mobile practices. So people really wasn't on their radar, and it became on their radar. And I had a very large number of senior pets in all these facilities and standing homes. And it was eye-opening. And they really I just think of them all the time. I used to lay in bed wondering, I wrote a blog about it, like worrying about them, you know, like, how are they doing? How is their pet doing? I made some relationships that really affected me. And I love my senior clients. I miss that.
During COVID, it must have been very difficult.
It was very difficult. And I would sit there, you know, I can't tell you how many people, I mean, I had to pick and choose because, you know, I was with my family and I'm like, listen to this voicemail. I have to go see this person. So I worked in garages and laundry rooms and lawns outside with like double, triple leashes. I didn't see that many cats because they were a bit of a flight risk, but I made myself get there, particularly for my senior clumpy.
And now, are you retired or are you doing, you know, light care?
Light care. I'm trying to write more and do more teaching or more writing. I do some relief work. I've been a little busy with the book the last several months. I need to get back to focusing on my blog and hoping to do some more sort of writing and teaching about these subjects, because I've done some medical mysteries and different things, but I would love to be able to stay in touch with people who are interested, who have medical questions, but also talk about the human-animal bond, which is another passion of mine. And So we'll see if I have an opportunity. I also feel strongly because I have a social media platform. It's very frustrating to see a lot of misinformation on social media. You go on Facebook and people are asking strangers, you know, advice. And it's like, just call your vet, you know, and I want to be what I call a reliable source of veterinary information online in a sea of misinformation. Just question the source. Just don't waste your time asking your neighbor, is this an emergency? Ask your vet. You know, it's a no-brainer. And hopefully people have a vet that they love and trust and therefore will feel free to do that. And so I think it's important. And so that's sort of something I'm trying to do more of later in my career as I sort of semi-retire.
And I did look over the chapter of foreign bodies, because when I first got my dog, she ate all of my vitamins.
Aye.
Oh, yeah. Right to the vet, because little did I know she had pica from being in a cage.
But yeah,
that somebody ate Gorilla Glue.
That's a very bad. That's one of the top. I think I wrote it in that way in the book, that one of the top like worst foreign bodies. It's such a really serious emergency. So
that would harden, right? That would harden up.
It hardens. It becomes a surgical emergency. There's complications. There's certain things that are easier to remove than others. That's not one of them. My top five like foreign bodies are in there. I got the needles, you know, my mother sews, and I'm always like, Mom, if your dogs swallow one of these needles, it's so bad. Peach pits. There are a lot of things. They go down, but they wreak havoc, can't come back up, get stuck, and then it becomes a surgical emergency.
I know. I mean, I have to watch that with my dog. Everywhere we walk, the little acorns, she likes them, and they do come up. She throws them up, but it's scary because especially when you walk your animals at night, you can't see everything that's in the grass.
You can't. And they see it. They smell it before it's too late. You know, it's difficult to be quicker than they are sometimes.
I try. I have treats.
We're
going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Well, we're back. And today I have Dr. Dawn Filos. And I wanted to ask you about the golden turmeric, the paste.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I know in the food, it's very good to put it in their food. So, but you make a paste out of it?
I make a paste because some pets may not like it or eat around it. And so I make a paste. It can last about 2 weeks. The recipe is in the book. And sometimes they'll just eat it straight. I found one way, you know, I put some notes. I think my experience is more pets find this recipe tweak a little more palatable. If you can kind of get an idea of how much you're giving, if you mix it too much in a big thing of food, and if your pet is a little picky, you don't know if they've eaten it. It's an easier way for quality control, but you can also sneak it in a pill pocket if they will eat it, depending on how much they like.
And it's good for them on what, a daily basis?
Yeah, and you can work up to, and I think I have a schedule there that I would give it daily. You work up to, you know, I would have them taste it, and then you sort of figure out if it's helping and the dose based on their weight and give it daily.
What do you use it for?
Well, it has anti-inflammatory properties. I use it quite a bit. I talk about Joel, who had arthritis. And I think the anti-inflammatory effects, which there's multiple, but for orthopedic inflammation combined with other modalities of nutraceuticals and pain meds if needed, or depending on what your vet finds. But for my senior pets especially, it's a good way to augment some of those prescription and over-the-counter supplements in addition to managing them. Because, you know, we have, it's like a cocktail of things. Sometimes you have the perfect combination of meds and then things change or they metabolize the drugs differently. So it's nice to have lots of options. I get, particularly with my house call, I did a lot of hospice or senior pets, a lot of geriatric medicines. So many of my clients or patients were older cats and dogs who had arthritis, and we were trying to figure out how to keep them, give them more of a quality end or senior years, not just quantity, so to keep them comfortable. And I talk about there's so many things that we can do now that we know and products that we have at our disposal to not just extend their lives, but to keep them comfortable in their senior years. And that's particularly important to me. And so that's one of many things in my sort of tool belt. And we see what works and what doesn't. And we, you know, we get a perfect combination for each pet. Each pet's different. You know, you never know what's going to work with them or not, particularly, you know, when they have cognitive disorder on top of it and they're pacing at night. So a lot of, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but, you know, they're keeping you up at night. People are trying to give them a little sedative or a pain med that will sedate them a bit to help them sleep. So we give this during the day and this at night and this with meals, and it's a process.
And what is that from? Just because they're getting older and anxious?
They're older. They're, sometimes it's an orthopedic issue. Sometimes it's a cognitive sort of wandering, you know, they wake up and then they pace. Sometimes it's a combination. And so we try to figure out what it is and what's working and what's not working. And sometimes that guides us to the ultimate problem. Sometimes we image, usually we know what's going on. We just try have to figure out the way for them to have a good quality of life and their families who are trying to sleep and the dog, you know, so putting up gates, if they go down the stairs, they can't get back up or vice versa. And then they're barking. So, you know, and that's another really helpful thing for house calls. I just walk around. Okay. You know, these stairs are too steep. You need a ramp here. You need your dog, your older arthritic dog is slipping on the hardwood floor. Get some of these yoga mats or, you know, rugs or some of those thick cushions that you see. They're like playground, you know, like hopscotch. I have so many pet families that have them all over their floor for their older pets. But, you know, they get down and they can't get back up. And then they irritate their arthritic joints and we're back to square one. So there's a lot of environmental management, dietary management, medical, and just, you know, managing the house.
I take my dog to the dog park, but I've read that animals that exercise, walks, run, it's better for their joints because it stretches them out. Like for us, if we just sat around all day, we would atrophy.
And the, you know, you don't want to suddenly start exercising an older dog who's arthritic. You know, you want to do it gradually, but I explain, you know, the most important thing. So you have these older joints that have arthritis in them and they're surrounded by muscle. And if you, you know, people who don't use their muscle or if they're in a wheelchair, for example, they have muscle atrophy. And then you become, or these pets, if their muscle atrophies, they're now 100% dependent on these joints that are painful. They don't have the muscular support to help them bear weight. And so keeping muscle mass, keeping them active, not only keeps them loosened and their ligaments are mobile and working, but their muscle mass is maintaining. And I think mentally they're happier, physically they're happier, and exercise is good for all of us in moderation. And you know your pet, you know, you know what they're used to. You can certainly build them up, but you also want to read their signs. If you go for walks and you're noticing they start to limp at the end of the walk or the day after or hours after, maybe step back a little, pool, swimming, aqua, you know, it takes away the weight bearing. That's a fantastic way if particularly for senior pets who, if they might swim, it's a way for them to work their muscles and maintain them without the weight bearing pain. And so not everybody has that option, but it's, you know, everybody has a different environment, and we work with what's realistic for that pet family.
Do you still have your dog, India?
So it's so sad. I euthanized her on April 29th. I had another house call vet come to my home because, as you can see, and it's so sad that she's not here in the book, is because she had so many problems, as I talked about, like all of our just terrible luck so many people in my profession have. And it's funny, I'm sitting here next to this windowsill, and I noticed just today, like, she scratched all the paint and her nail on the ledge just waiting when we went out. And I didn't even realize it was there until today. So she's with me in spirit.
How old was she?
She was turning 14. And you know, that dog, I mean, I think I mentioned in several chapters, she is featured because she had a laundry list of issues. What ended up was her pain, her spine and her disc. It wasn't her cancer. Well, it was, her cancer came back actually quickly. But her heart disease, that she was stable for 6-7 years. And that's a very important lesson, because the minute that she went from, you know, not needing meds to indications early with this cardiac ultrasound, which I really recommend, the minute you get them on pain meds, as soon as is indicated, and she didn't have any cardiac symptoms. It was everything else. So you learn from your pets. I also learned firsthand the benefits of acupuncture with her. That worked until it didn't. But ultimately, her spine and arthritis and then the cancer came back with a bit of a vengeance.
I'm very sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it was such an awful decision, but it was the right decision, you know. And not one more day I intervened. It was the perfect day because I knew what to look for. So in this book, that is another thing I wanted to get across, that, you know, if you're comfortable with the process, to educate people about the euthanasia process. Some people never want to intervene, but for those that do, and I do, to spare them of inevitable suffering, pain and suffering.
Once I made my mind up, it was done the next day. You have to. And they make you know. If you look for the signs, they do let you know.
They do let you know.
Cats is easy. They just stop grooming themselves.
Yeah. Cats are very different, as you know. But even though I know what I know, I mean, this was the most difficult decision. So I admit that, and I didn't share it in the book because it hadn't happened yet, but I'm a pet parent and a vet. So I've had so many situations. I sympathize with my patients, my clients, and I hope they know that. I hope they know, one of the things I wanted to get a point in this book is, it's not just me, it's my colleagues. Like, we're in this because we love what we do. And if you don't really feel confident that that is the case with your vet, find another one. And you should love your vet and feel confident, because they're out there. They're just waiting to meet you, you know, and you should really, your dog or cat or pets, if they're lucky enough to be like Nita, you're going to be with them the whole life of your pet, hopefully. And you want somebody that knows them and advocates for them and you're comfortable with, and you can share, you know, admit, you know, okay, he did eat the whole jar of peanut butter, whatever. That's fine. No secrets. We need to know what we need to know so we can best help your pet.
As long as it doesn't have birch in it.
And a few other, yeah, or artificial sweeteners. And there's a lot of information. I have a blog, Dr. Dawn the Pet Vet, where I have so many posts about all this other stuff that's maybe not in detail in the book. What you can feed, what you can't feed, what to do if, and personal anecdotes similar.
Fall into the blog, or they write?
No, but what people can email, I have a lot of social media pages too, and I feel like I get a lot of information from feedback on Instagram. I have Facebook. And if people are asking me the same question over and over again, I'm like, okay, I need to blog about this or mention it in the book. And because these are topics that people are interested in. And so that's how I approach it. Sometimes I have Q&As. I have one coming up next week. Hopefully I'll be able to do more of those and have some time, because I really enjoy talking to people like you and talking to clients. I enjoyed teaching. I like interacting with clients and pet parents.
Most veterinarians are female.
They are, you know, it's an interesting transition in the face of veterinary medicine because that wasn't always the case, but it's over 70% women. And so that's the profession has evolved into that. And people need to be aware of that. I think they're getting used to having vets as women because they have no choice. It's hard to find. And there are men graduating. It used to be there were hardly any women. And so now here we are.
There's really not that many, you know, colleges.
There's not. There's more. There are a few more. And, you know, there is, you may, your pet owner, a parent, we have a bit of a vet shortage. Like, we have more pets. And so now they are increasing for various reasons, and it's all good, but it particularly came to light during COVID. So some of my alma mater, I went to the University of Pennsylvania, you know, the classes are getting bigger. There's a new school out here in Long Island, one in Arizona. So we have more schools and more vets graduating.
My friend went to, many years ago, it was very hard to get into a school in the States. There weren't that many. And he went to Belgium. He went to Brussels, and it was a 7-year course.
Yeah. It takes a while because you have to come to the U.S. and work with American vets, and then you have a separate exam to make sure that everything is accredited. And so that is a long route. I had a bit of a long route myself. I didn't get in right away, but I stuck with it, but I was in the U.S., so it all worked out for me eventually. But yeah, that I feel for your friend. I didn't go that route, but I easily could have had things not turned out the way, you know, I finally did get in, and I'm glad that I went where I went.
People today, I did 30 years of cats. I was raised with dogs, and they were, you know, the family pet. But
yeah,
the relationship between people and their pets today, especially dogs, I mean, it's a real relationship. They are the other.
They're family. Their child substitutes, their grandchild.
Don't do anything for them.
Yeah. And why wouldn't we? You know, we have all these resources. We have this unconditional love. They don't talk back. They are just.
Well. Some dogs do talk back.
This is true. You're many of them, but they're just, there are a constant source of companionship. And some people live alone or families are sort of spread out. And I have a lot of friends. I talk about this as at my age, for every child that moves out of the house to college, it's replaced by a cat or a dog because we have that need to nurture. And so sometimes they are somewhat literally replacing a child or a stand-in for a grandchild while we wait for them or miss them. So they serve a very big emotional, they fill a void, they are companions, they're a life in my experience, and I talk about this quite a bit. They're a lifeline, I have come to realize, for so many people. And the responsibility of taking care of a pet can sometimes be the only reason people want to get out of bed or help them through a depression. And these are topics that, as I sort of semi-retire, I like to explore and talk about and be there. And I've realized, you know, that my role in their pets' lives has made a difference, a big difference in their lives. And so
it's very hard to have a bad day when you wake up and your dog is wagging his tail.
I mean, right. How bad could it be?
How bad could you be?
Exactly. Exactly. They're not judging me. They're just loving me, you know, and
now,
who doesn't?
I go to the local dog park. And first of all, I made so many new friends through my dog, whether
yeah.
in the park or in my community. But these people are, you know, they are into their animals. I mean, we plan, like, you know, events, you know, going to the beach, going to the pool, going to the lake. It's amazing. And
yeah.
And some have one, some have two. I have one woman at the park. She's got a big poodle. She has his hair dyed.
Yeah, I see these people. It fascinates me. I was in JFK Airport the other day and I was running late. And I'm so angry that I didn't stop and take a picture. This French bulldog was polka dot, perfect painted polka dot. And I just was like, I should have stopped. And just any number of things that we can do for our pets. It's entertaining. Most of it's harmless. As long as the pet isn't stressed, it's a little over the top at time, but what's the harm, you know?
Yeah, it really is fun. And it's good exercise for us.
It's social. It's exercise. It's, you know, it gets people out and meeting other people. You retire between my dog and golf. I moved to Arizona. I met so many people. Like, it's a great way to meet like-minded people. And the dogs get to make friends as well.
How many people ring your doorbell that they need a vet?
Well, they haven't done that so much, but that was a very big issue in when I had my house call practice. And so that is not an ideal situation. It's very rare. And when it happens, I'm happy to help because...
Hopefully it's only for an emergency.
Only for an emergency. And they've come. So yeah, why not? What else am I doing? I'm semi-retired. And so I have no issue helping people if I can. If I can, I tell them where to go. And people are...
Where to go.
In a good place. Why, you know, why shouldn't I? They're desperate and I can help. And why shouldn't I?
Tell our listeners your blog and I'll post it when the show posts.
Yeah. And I have Instagram as well. It's Dr. Dawn, the pet vet. And you can subscribe. You don't have to subscribe, but it's good because once I start sending out the regular blogs, they'll come more regular. But there's years, there's about 12, 13 years of information on there already. There's recipes. There's veterinary info. I just made a big batch of dog bones. I'm bringing them to some of my author talks. It's canine tested, veterinary approved. And there's information, there's links for resources, legal advice on pet insurance and how to select it, all sorts of varied information.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's helpful. You just have to go in the blogs and search, and there's all my book information as well.
And again, the book is called Tales of a Pet Vet, Stories from the Clinic and House Calls. Dr. Dawn, I appreciate you being on. And I have to tell people, this book, this is a wonderful, lovely memoir, and you're going to learn a lot of things.
I'm so glad.
You didn't even get to your monkey.
My monkey. Yes, Willie. He is the beginning of a very long life and career of exciting variety that you can only have with pets. Yeah. And he's not even the most crazy, but I think that most people are interested in hearing about him. And that funny story about when I brought him to school, these reunions, I'm like, I'm the girl that had the monkey. If anything, they remember me and my pet Willie.
We'll have to come back and we'll have to do part two.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. It's been really fun, and I appreciate you taking the time.
And I appreciate you being here. I want to thank my listeners. I want to thank Mark. And again, I want to thank Dr. Dawn for being with us today. Remember to live life unleashed. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.